Okay, well, my mic is on. We'll get it worked out. Well, good morning. I'm so glad you're here this morning as we are right at the threshold of Thanksgiving. I don't know about you, how many of you guys are excited about family and turkey and stuffing and all of the fun stuff of Thanksgiving? How many of you guys are excited about that this week? I am. I know all you guys are cooking for a night of Thanksgiving. You're like, I'm kind of ready for it already because I can smell it. I can already imagine what it smells like. Well, I am looking forward to it. I've got a lot of stuff going on, as I'm sure many of us do, with family coming into town and things going on. And it's easy to forget what it's all about, but I'm so glad that we get to join together today to just be reminded of what it means to give thanks to God. And I hope you've done all of your Thanksgiving shopping. Rebecca actually had to go out to Costco yesterday, and it is a madhouse. So I hope you did all your shopping. If not, you're in for a surprise. Maybe you'll be like the lady that went to the grocery store and she was looking for a turkey to feed her ginormous family that was coming over, and she was looking in the freezer and there's all these little tiny baby turkeys, and you know, she's just picking and looking, and all of a sudden someone walks by that works at the store and she said, "Excuse me, sir, do these turkeys get any bigger?" You can guess what he said. He said, "No, ma'am, those turkeys are dead. They stopped growing." Womp, womp, womp. And while I hope and pray that none of you burn your turkey this next week, I've got a list of things you can be thankful for, even if you burn your turkey this next week on Thursday. The number 10 reason, it's kind of like a top 10 list. The number 10 reason is salmonella won't be a concern. You won't have to be worried about getting food poisoning. Number 10 reason to be thankful is no one will overeat, right? No one's going to be like, "Oh, I'm so stuffed," right? Number 8, everyone will think it's Cajun-style turkey, so just go with it. Yeah, it's a new thing. Bobby Flay showed me this. Number 7, uninvited guests will think twice before coming next year. That should be number 1, yeah. Number 6 reason to be thankful, even if you burn the bird, is your cheese, broccoli, tuna, lima bean casserole will look really good next to that. Number 5, hopefully you don't make that. Please don't make any of that for your family. I want to see you guys next week, not dead somewhere. I'll visit you in the hospital. Number 5, the pets won't pester you for scraps if you got a burned bird. Number 4, well, the smoke alarm was due for a test anyways, right? Got to check it with real smoke. Number 3 reason to be thankful, if you burn the bird after dinner, the guys can take the bird out back and play football with it. The number 2 reason to be thankful is you'll get to desserts quicker. I kind of like that one. I think that one should be number 1. But the number 1 reason to be thankful, even if you burn the bird, is you won't have to face 3 weeks of turkey sandwiches. Amen. Amen to that. Some of you guys like the turkey sandwiches. You do? Okay. To each their own. And maybe it's a Cajun blackened chicken sandwich, turkey sandwich. Well, I do hope and pray that your Thanksgiving is a great time, you have a great time with family, and I know tonight we're going to get to celebrate with the church family, and I'm so grateful for that privilege and opportunity. As Joe said, we made as much space as we thought we needed, and we needed a lot more than that. So next year and the years to come, we're going to need even more space by God's grace. So we're thankful for that. I'm thankful for this church family. And this morning, I want to talk to you about perspective. That's really what I want to talk all about. Where the title of the message is, I am thankful for what he's done, but I want to talk about perspective. Because much of our life has to do with our perception of what's going on around us. The way we interpret our life has to do with our perception of the world around us. You know, when Goliath came against the Israelite army, many in the army looked at this giant and said, "He's so big we can't kill him." Yet there was a little David that said, "He's so big, I can't miss." It's like the two salesmen that were sent from a shoe company to go to the Congo, and one reported back, he emailed back his boss and said, "Boss, the prospect here is nil. No one wears shoes." And of course, the other salesman wrote back and said, "Send everything you've got. Everyone here is barefoot. It's an open market," right? It's all about our perspective. Robert Kennedy said, Some people see things as they are. I try to see things as they could be. See, and Jesus saw the potential in 12 ordinary men, people like you and I, people that weren't extraordinary in their own right. But he said, I see potential in you. And through those 12 men, changed the world. We're gathered together in this place because of the faithfulness of those 12 men that went and shared the good news of the gospel, that shared the love of Jesus Christ with their world. And it spread and spread, and here we are. See, sometimes you and I don't feel like we've got a lot to be thankful for. It doesn't take too long living in this world to find things that are hard. And I think last week we sufficiently busted open the myth that we all have something to be thankful for. Don't you agree with that? Amen. If you didn't hear that message, go listen to the podcast. Go get the CD. It was good. It's good. Pretty good. See, but sometimes we don't think, thank you. Thank you, Kate. Thank you. She took the bait. Sometimes we don't think that we're thankful. We don't have much to be thankful for. It doesn't take but to wake up in the morning and first of all realize that we're alive, to move our feet, to get out of bed, to realize that we have movement, to go walk to the bathroom and realize we've got indoor plumbing and water and toilets and all sorts of things. We have so much to be thankful for in the earthly realm. See, the Bible would call these tangible physical blessings, things that we can see and touch. We have so much there to be thankful for. We could spend all day giving thanks to God for the things we have, for even the things that we can see on our body at this moment. I've got fingers at work, thank you, Jesus. I've got legs that help me move, and a very personal one to me, thank you, God. I've got a voice. I can speak to my loved ones. I can talk with my children. These are things that the great King Solomon, author of much of the wisdom literature in the Bible, would call blessings under the sun. This idea that as finite human beings, we have a limited perspective of the world. We can only see the things under the sun because that's where we live. That's what we can see. See, those are the things that we can look at as mere mortals from our perspective, those blessings under the sun. But this morning, I want to dig a little bit deeper and look at the blessings we have to give thanks for from God's perspective, the things that he sees when he looks down upon us, not under the sun, but over the sun, so to speak. See, the Bible calls these spiritual blessings. And let me just say, this book, the Bible, tells us that all of these spiritual blessings are ours to possess in Christ Jesus, that God has made all of them available to us because of what Jesus did. Every gift we have, the Bible declares, gifts of the physical nature, gifts of the spiritual nature, are from our Father above, from our, as we just sang, our good, good Father in heaven. He's given us every spiritual and physical blessing we experience. So what would happen if we could stop for a moment each day and give thanks to Almighty God for the blessings we experience, both the physical blessings and the spiritual ones? I believe that if we could fathom the depth of God's rich love for us, it would change us. It would radically reorient our perspective. And sometimes we see nothing but the problems in front of us because of our limited perspective. But if we would stop and give thanks, I believe God would give us a new perspective. He would give us a new way of looking at our life. Not a pretending like everything is rosy colored, but he would give us a new perspective of what we really do have to give thanks for. See, we give thanks to God because of his rich blessings. And the truth is, we can't earn those blessings. God gives them freely. He pours out his love for each one of us, not because of what we've done, but because of his great love for us. See, I believe that sometimes we forget to give thanks because we've lost sight of the big picture. I liken it to an ant trying to describe a mountain. Sometimes when we look at our world and our lifetime, we're like an ant looking up at a mountain saying, let me tell you what it's like. But that ant has no idea. And I think sometimes God needs to give us a new perspective on what that looks like. This morning, we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 1. If you've got a Bible, you can pull it out. We're going to look at Ephesians 1. We're going to look at the same passage we looked at last week in a little bit more context. Ephesians 1, we're going to read verse 3 and then jump to verse 15. It says this, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He continues in verse 15 and says, for this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love towards the saints, he continues and says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the Lord, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe. Man, that's a mouthful. But let me tell you what it's all about. See, Paul, the man who wrote this section of scripture, was writing about an unceasing thanksgiving he was giving for the people of God, the people that God had placed in his life. I tell you, if you want someplace to start in giving thanks, start thanking God for the people to your left and to your right, the people that you get to share life with and do life with and spend time with. Those can be people in our family. Those can be people in our church. Those can be friends and neighbors and relatives and even coworkers sometimes. We should give thanks for them too. See, but last week we looked about how much we have to be thankful for here and now, the physical things. And in this passage, Paul expands on that idea to show us what it's like to give thanks for the blessings we have in Jesus Christ. I believe that's the bigger part of what he's talking about in this first chapter. See, here's the truth. If you're taking notes, it's the first bullet point. Thanks to Jesus, I have everything I need. Some of you say, but Jesus just gives me spiritual blessings. And friend, I'd say that's all we need. See, Jesus gives us everything we need, not only in this life, but in the life to come, in eternal life. See, the man or woman of God who has God as their treasure will find that he or she has all things in one. Many great theologians have used that line. But what we find is that the man or woman that holds God as his treasure or her treasure will find that everything we need for life and happiness is found in the relationship with our Creator. Because that is the ultimate relationship we were designed for. That is the life that we were designed to live, a life lived close to God and under his protection and ways. See, and sometimes we don't realize how blessed we are, because we're only seeing life from our vantage point. We've got kind of a low angle at life. We're just looking at things under the sun. See, but this passage declares to us that we have every spiritual blessing thanks to Jesus. Ephesians 1:3. In fact, would you read this aloud with me? Ready? Go. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. See, you and I, thanks to Jesus Christ, have every spiritual blessing. Not some of them. Not a partial portion. Try to say that 5 times fast. But we have every spirit. No, don't really do it, Joe. Just see, you and I, who are once spiritually bankrupt, now have the full blessings of God at our fingertips, the full blessings of him. See, every need that you and I had was paid upon the cross. That's not some great new revelation, but I think it's something we need to be reminded of. We sing songs about it. Even this morning, we sang a song about "Lead Me to the Cross." And I think sometimes we have to be reminded that everything we needed was paid for on the cross. Let me ask you a question. How many times have you sinned this week? How many times have you made a mistake today on your drive over here to church? How many times have you done something contrary to God's ways and hurt people? Maybe intentionally, maybe unintentionally. See, the truth is that every single one of us have sinned in light of a holy and perfect God. And the Bible tells us clearly that every time we fall short of God's standards, the Bible calls that sin. And the Bible declares in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is what? Death. See, that's what we deserve. And I'm so thankful that the scripture doesn't stop with that dot, dot, dot. That's not in there, by the way. I'm so thankful that there's a but in there. And it continues and says, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Can I get an amen? Amen. That's good news. See, we all mess up. We all need God's grace. And sometimes we lose sight of the cross. We lose sight of what God has done for us in our place for our sins. And when we will live our life in light of that circumstance, it changes things. See, our scripture today tells us not only has he freed us from our sins, not only has he set us free from the bondage to them, but he's blessed us. He hasn't just taken away our punishment, but he's given us something that we didn't deserve on top of it. That's grace. And Paul begins to break it down for us and shows us practically what it looks like. The second thing is this: you have been blessed to know and be known by God. Now, I think sometimes we don't realize what that means. And Paul prays for the Ephesian church, and by proxy, he prays for us, that we might be able to shift our perspective to realize and understand that in the course of human history, no people except for our first father and mother have been able to experience the sort of intimacy and relationship and closeness with God that we can, thanks to Jesus Christ. See, the Bible tells us that sin separated man from God, but what Jesus did is he bridged the gap. He paid the price. See, our passage says, I thank God that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. See, I think sometimes we live in a Western world. So many of us have access to Bibles that our brothers and sisters around the world don't, that our brothers and sisters would be persecuted for holding. And we have access to the knowledge and the revelation of God in a way that is profound and amazing, that God wants us to know who he is and what he's like and what we are like in light of who he is and what he's done. We have access to this limitless resource of his living and active word, and yet we don't tap into it. See, I want you to imagine that the God of the universe, the one the Bible declares spoke the universe, the galaxies that we can see from under the sun, the things that we know about our known world, that God spoke those into creation. And that big and mighty God, the one that holds the earth together, the one that knows every atom of every element on this earth, that God, the Bible declares, knows us by name, and wants us to know him. Can you imagine that? I can't really even grasp that. That's unfathomable how big and good that God is, and that God wants me to know him personally. Not just know him, but to know him personally the way that a man or woman would know a friend. See, in the pages of this book, we find wisdom, and we have the revelation and the knowledge of God. John Piper said this, and I love this quote. He said, God made man small and the universe big to say something about himself. And I think he's right. That if we would just stop for a moment in our day to realize just how big our galaxy is, to fathom just how large our world is, forget the galaxy, to think how large our world is, that we would begin to wonder and awe and live in an amazement of the awesome God who created it all. And we would live in reverence of him. See, the Bible assumes as a self-evident fact that men and women can know God as intimately as we can know any other person or object. It's for this reason the Bible declares, and I love this, you've heard me say it a million times, the psalmist who says, taste and see that the Lord is good. See, that there shows that God is a God that can be not just understood, but known. He can be experienced. That's the sort of love that God has for us. Thirdly, God wants us to know about our future hope. Paul says that he prays that we might know a real hope, a hope that comes from understanding where we are in light of eternity, that this is not all there is to us. It may be all there is to our life, but it's not all there is to us. We will live on. Ephesians 1:18, I pray that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? I love it that God says his desire is for you to know. He doesn't say, I desire that you might believe. He said, I desire that you might know. There's something quite different about believing and knowing. It's like if I was giving you directions and you were driving and I was in the passenger seat, I said, I believe it's right around the corner. I believe the restaurant we're going to, it's around the corner. Now, if I said that, you might say, I don't think he really knows. But if I said, I know it's right around the corner, which one implies I'm more confident in what I believe? I know. See, God declares that he wants us to know the hope we have, not just in an intellectual pursuit, but that we would have a deep, abiding conviction that he has a hope for us. So we've all heard the passage in Jeremiah 29:11 that says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And though that passage is descriptive of God's people, God is speaking prophetically over the Israeli people at that point in time, we get a glimpse at a God who knows our future, at a God who not only knows our future, but wants us to live with hope for the things that he has in store for us in the days ahead. See, our problem is that we fail often to see the bigness of the cross. We forget the blessings of what Jesus has done for us, that he might secure for us eternal life. And we fail to see how big an act it was. Oh, we remembered it. Many of us, at the moment that we came to faith in Jesus, we said, yes, God, I'll receive your grace. We realized how needy we were to be saved at those moments. But then, like many things in life, we begin to forget. We start hot and really passionate, and then we start getting colder and colder. And for long, we might as well put an ice cube in it. It's so cold. And it's easy for us to forget how big a deal it was. And the truth is that it's easy for us humans to take things for granted, right? We do that all the time. For those of us children, and we were all children once. Come on, you know you were a kid at once. Some of you have forgotten that, but there's still a kid in there. For those of you who are children, it's easy to take our parents for granted, thinking, oh, well, I'll tell them what I really feel about them later. I'll do it next week. It's easy for those of us who are brothers or sisters to take our siblings for granted. Oh, this is my brother. Sometimes this time of year, we need to be reminded to give thanks for them. For those of us who are parents, it's so easy for us to take our children for granted, thinking, well, I'll just get my job done and next week we'll go do something fun. Next year, later. And we put those things off that are truly important. For those of us who are friends, and we all have friends in our lives, it's easy to take the people around us for granted, right? I could go on and on and on about this. But the truth is, we often take things in life for granted. We fail to give thanks to God for what he's blessed us with. And I think sometimes we have to take a cue from children. Because children aren't afraid to tell you what they're thankful for. Anyone with small kids around will tell you. The things that they say when you ask, what are you thankful for, just blow your mind. My favorite, almost every night my son says, I'm thankful for dinosaurs. Cool. In fact, we actually put together a video of our New Heart kids and what they're thankful for. Why don't you take a look?
What are you thankful for?
I'm thankful for going with Dad.
I'm thankful for my house.
That God, Jesus, died on the cross for our sins.
I'm thankful for food, and I'm thankful for mom and dad.
Rice. For my family, my friends.
Thankful for homeschool, and I'm thankful that Jesus gave me life.
When I'm thankful for my friends, I feel proud of myself.
All the holidays of the world.
My mom.
my sister.
That my friend in first grade is Gaia that I met. She said, nobody wants me one time at lunch, and then I said, I want you just the way you are.
Oh. Thankful for God for making the world.
Toby, is there anything you're thankful for? Are you thankful for Mommy or Daddy or Grandma or Papa?
Daddy! I'm thankful for my brothers too.
Thankful for being Rosie and Papa and Kelly and Rosie.
I do not know anyone. My family and my mom and dad.
Really thankful for Six Flags Magic Mountain.
Yeah, Christmas, I guess.
I say Minecraft.
So you're thankful for Papa and Grandma B and Rosie.
Yeah.
Two times over.
And Mommy and Michael.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, I love the perspective of kids, don't you? Thank you, Alex, for putting that together. That was awesome. I know many of you adults shared what you're thankful for. We're going to play that video tonight at the Night of Thanks, and we may play it again for those of you who don't get to make it tonight. But we have so much to be thankful for. Sometimes it takes a kid just being honest, and I love those kids' answers. They're the best. So the question is, how do we change our vantage point? How do we begin seeing the blessings of God for what they really are? How do we see things from God's vantage point? I want to give you a couple practical tips before we go today. The first is, you must remember who you are and whose you are. See, we're in the middle of a series called Identity, and one of the original identity statements is Genesis 1, 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them, and God blessed them. See, the truth is that God made you, and God doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't make junk. God made you. That's who you are. So we sing about God, you're a good, good father. That's who you are. But what God says is who you are is an image bearer of him, the creator of all things, and that you are good. See, when God made you and me, some of us have this picture of when God made us, he said, I'm not so sure about that one. Right? Like, oops. We hit the oops button. But that's not what God said when he created us. We've been made in his image. God doesn't make junk, and he doesn't make mistakes. And he made you. So you're not junk, and you're not a mistake. See, the Bible declares that that's who we are. It also declares whose we are. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says this, and says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Friend, if you have received the grace of Jesus Christ, Jesus bought you back from death. He bought you back from your sin at the high price of his life. So you were first made in his image, then purchased back from your sins. So how do we see things from God's vantage point? The second thing is this. We have to remember the bigness of God. We have to see our problem and our world in light of how big he is. Isaiah 40:12. Feel like I've lived in this passage for the last couple of weeks. So who, besides God, has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the earth with a span? Here's a span of a hand, just for reference. Who has marked off the heavens with a span, enclosed the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Friends, I don't know about you, but how many of you can measure the waters of the earth with your hand? How many of you can measure out the width of a galaxy in the span of your hand? I can't. I've got pretty small hands, I guess, but even still, even the largest hand among us can't do that. See, the Bible declares that the God of the universe, the one who spoke all that we know, that the one that knows us by name, and has our hairs numbered. For some of you, you think he's lost count. Not pointing into anyone. See, but that same God holds the universe and measures out the width of the universe in his hand, and he knows us. And sometimes we forget that. We don't see the bigness of God. We see the bigness of the people in authority in front of us. We see how great and big the president of the United States is, or we see how great the person sitting in the position of CEO of our employer, or maybe we just see the bigness of how big our boss is in light of what we are and what we do in our company. But it's only when we see those little bosses, those little leaders, in light of the big God, the creator God, that we can live with the right view, the right perspective of what's really going on in our lives. See, we often try and please our earthly bosses or masters, and we forget to look to the Almighty. I love what the psalmist says in Psalm 56:10. He said, "In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me?" It's not that he was so foolish to say that no one can physically hurt him. What he's saying is that in light of Almighty God, no one else's opinion matters. No one else's authority is as big as Almighty God. So how do we see things from God's vantage point? The third thing is we have to remember how big a price God had to pay to make us his own. Of course, one of the most known scriptures, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." See, God so loved Joe. God so loved George. Even George. See, God so loved Wendy. God so loved Brian that he gave his only son. I think sometimes we don't personalize that truth. We don't realize that as I look back to the cross, it was my sin that hung Jesus there. As the Bible declares that if there were just one lost sheep, if it were just me that were lost, he would have come and paid that price. Sometimes we don't personalize and realize the ultimate price it cost Jesus to redeem me from my sins. Isaiah 53:5-6. We sometimes hear the scriptures we take of communion, and it's a good reminder. It's a prophecy of Jesus, and it says, "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him," on Jesus, "the iniquity of us all." See, Jesus was punished in our place. And sometimes we lose sight of just how big a load that would have been. He was crushed for my mistakes, for the things that I've done. But he was the one that was able to bring peace in my relationship with my Father in heaven. And he did it because of his great love. See, we've all wandered away from God, some in spectacular ways, some in small ways, some in boneheadedly large ways, right? We've done so stupid of things that you wonder sometimes. But if we put our trust in Jesus Christ, it says, the Bible declares that the weight of all of those sins, big and small, traumatic and insignificant, we might think, all of those were put on the back of Jesus Christ, that he suffered for everyone. I want you to imagine how much love it would take to do that. How much love it would take towards you to do just that. He took that weight upon himself. So we need to see things and remember the great price that was paid. Four things, we need to remember that God is the giver of all good things. See, we experience so many good things in our lifetimes. Our poets, our screenwriters, our filmmakers, our storytellers throughout time have tried to encapsulate the goodness that we get to experience on this earth, to explain the depth of goodness we experience when gazing at the sun setting over the ocean, or to experience and explain the depth of joy that we experience at the birth of a child, or the joy that we get to feel in the love between two people See, there's so many good things that we experience. I can't even describe how good those things that we experience are. The things we taste, the things we touch, the things we see, the things we hear, the music. Can we thank God for music? We could have been born without ears, but God said, I want you to hear the beautiful sounds. I want you to see and behold all that I've made for you. I want you to smell the roses and the cinnamon rolls. Thank you, Lord. And turkey. Don't you love the smell of turkey? As you go to Thanksgiving feast this year and you smell and you see and you hear and you taste and you touch, those are all meant to be reminders that every good thing comes from our Father above. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. On his own, he brought us forth of the word of truth. See, every good gift comes from him. He's the giver of all those things. Those things were meant to draw us close to God, to show us what he's like. See, our meals around a table aren't meant just to worship the things that we get to taste and see. They're meant as an invitation to worship the one who's given us all those things. See, but oftentimes we do the opposite. Romans talks about this, that there's men and women that serve and worship the things that were created instead of worshiping the Creator God. And it's so easy to do those things. In closing, I believe that our dinner tables, particularly this week, hello, you can hear it, should be places of worship to God. Not that we worship the food or the people around the table, but as we sit around the table, we give thanks to the one who's given us all that which is around the table and on the table and under the table and covering the table and all the things that we experience. See, our beaches should be a place of worship, not that we worship the waves or the sea or the animals, but as we behold them, we thank God who created such beauty for us to behold and see and feel the breeze and all that we see. See, these good things were meant to draw us near to worship the one who gave us all those things. See, and sometimes we fail to remember those things. We fail to remember God in experiencing those things because we've forgotten this simple truth that every good thing comes from our Father above who's given us those things. Would you bow with me as we close out our time in prayer? Spirit of God, we thank you. We thank you for the word. Your word that reminds us of the bigness of who you are and what you're like. Let me ask you this morning, what was God speaking to you about as we talked about being thankful for what he's done? What was the Lord's whispering to your heart about? I want to first speak to those of you who already know Jesus Christ. You've made a decision to follow him. But I believe this morning the Lord was speaking to some of us about returning to Thanksgiving. Not just as an annual tradition, but as a daily reflection point. For some of you, God was calling you to see the blessings of your life from his vantage point instead of yours. Maybe you become jaded by the things going on around you in this world, and you've lost sight of those spiritual blessings that Christ has purchased for you. If that's you, I want you to pray right where you're at with me. Father God, I want to stop and thank you right now, right here, in this place. Thank you for redeeming and restoring me and for loving me. God, I have so much to be thankful for and so many people to be thankful for. Thank you that I have everything I need in you, Jesus. I'm going to keep my eyes fixed on you when I'm tempted to be ungrateful. Help me to remember who you say I am when I want to be tempted to believe something else. Help me to remember just how big you are in light of the big things that come in my way. Help me to remember the price you paid to win me back for my sin. And finally, help me to remember that all good things come from you. Lord, this week, help us to be a people who remember and reflect the goodness of who you are. As we come to the tables with our families, help us to remember you, to give you thanks. Father, thank you for rescuing us from our sins. Let us live our lives in light of that great blessing that you've given us in Jesus. And finally, with every head bowed and every eye closed in this place, I want to make an opportunity, if there's anyone here that has not yet received God's radical love for the first time. Maybe you've been in church before, but you've never surrendered your life to the care and control of Almighty God. You've never said yes to Jesus Christ and accepted his free gift of grace. If that's you, in just a moment, with every other head bowed and eye closed, I want to agree with you in prayer. I won't ask you to do anything strange and come down front. But if that's you, I want to agree with you in prayer. If that's you, you say, I want to say yes. Would you lift up your hand with every other head bowed and eye closed? We'll just make space for anyone that's here that needs to make that decision. Thank you, Lord. Father, we give you thanks that you are a good, good Father. We have so many reasons to give thanks to you. Lord, help us this week to be a people of thanks. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, we're gonna go out of here singing thanksgiving and praise to him. Would you stand with me as we finish off our service with song?